NBA Courtside
Podcast.
It's the NBA Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Carlos. Okay, folks, I apologize for missing a couple shows these last couple weeks. I had to get some funds together so I can get this show back and running. That being said, looks like the trade deadline's got a lot of teams looking supercharged to make that push for the finals. But before we get into all the trade deadline moves, I want to talk real quick about the NBA All-Star Weekend. It's fairly entertaining. New York, you got Carmelo Anthony. I think he played the most minutes, played somewhere around 30 minutes for the hometown New York City Knicks fans, and I believe he's shut down for the season with knee surgery, so I found that to be kind of interesting. He also shot the worst field goal percentage for a NBA All-Star player, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just pulling this from the air. I don't have any of this written down. But Carmelo Anthony playing like crap. I know it was an All-Star game, just chunking up bricks from the outside. The West ended up winning against the East, as it should be. They're just a better conference at this point. And Russell Westbrook putting in 41 points and one assist. I said one assist. It is an All-Star game. He was 1 point away from tying Will Chamberlain's record of 42 points in an All-Star game, which is pretty entertaining. Had that dunk where he hit his head on the backboard. It was nasty. Guy just got mad hops. He attacks the rim with such tenacious, like, man, he's just angry. Angry at the rim, like the rim stole something from him. So I enjoyed it. If you go into the NBA All-Star game kind of like you would like an NFL Pro Bowl game, you know, you just look for long bombs and, you know, alley-oop dunks. There's no defense played whatsoever. This was, I think, the second most All-Star game points by both teams or accumulative points scored, something like that. I want to touch on Saturday. It was pretty entertaining. Shout-out to the Houston Rockets, Patrick Beverley, for winning the skills challenge. Showed that he can shoot a little bit. Wish he'd do a little more of that for the actual Houston Rockets. We'll get into that a little later in the show. What everybody was assuming was going to be the highlight of the night with the three-point contest, it was a little underwhelming. I mean, Stephen Curry got hot there a little bit. Klay Thompson kind of threw up a dud towards the end. James Harden, you know, Houston Rockets MVP, arguably, I think, my personal MVP at this point for the NBA season. And him and Steph Curry featured in that three-point contest, but Steph Curry beating Klay Thompson in the three-point contest. So that was pretty entertaining, but I believe Zach LaVine stole the show with his behind the back, between the legs, just effortless assault on the rim. His slam dunk showing was memorable. I would say it was top five performance. The thing that takes away from Zach LaVine's performance is not anything that really his fault. He's only averaging a little over 20 minutes a game for the season. His season averages are like 7.5 points, maybe a couple assists, a couple rebounds, maybe a steal a game, you know, shooting around probably 40% from the field. So Zach LaVine is not, he's not a star. He is an athlete. He is very athletic. He's a great dunker. I just don't know if he's a great player. I think the thing with the NBA is if you're good, you're good. Think about the players that had great rookie seasons, and you knew this is going to be a star. I had it wrong. I thought Jabari Parker was going to be the runaway rookie of the year, and he just may end up being a great player, but unfortunately he's out for the season with injury, and Andrew Wiggins has been taking that reign. Now, Andrew Wiggins is a rookie. Zach LaVine, also a rookie, but Wiggins is getting the minutes because he is great. Zach LaVine is not a great NBA player. He is a great dunker. That was a great showing. The Space Jam, the guys getting out, getting the crowd hype. It was fun. It was entertaining. It was live. It was cool. But it's not the 1980s, like, you know, Jordan versus Dominique. You know, it's not Dr. J jumping from the free throw line. It's just not. You know, you need that star name to give it that star power. And Zach LaVine, it perfect for this kid's, for these kids' age group of like the demographic of 20 and under, where their attention span is no longer than a 12-second Instagram video. It's just, you know, they're going to remember him for a couple weeks, and eventually, you know, they're going to realize he's not getting any playing time. Maybe they'll say, hey, where's LaVine's playing time? He needs more minutes, whatever. The few Minnesota Timberwolves fans that are still left, maybe they'll gain a few with KG going over there. We'll get into that in a minute. But LaVine's just not... He's not a star. Victor Oladipo coming out singing. That was entertaining. I really wish that Giannis Antetokounmpo would have jumped over that goddamn Greek flag. That would have been fucking amazing. Those beautiful Greek women holding that glorious Greek flag. If he would have just gone fucking MJ splitting his legs, jumped over, I mean, maybe a smaller version of the flag, because he brought out a pretty big fucking flag. But if he could have done something like that, that would have been entertaining. But he's just too long. The dunk contest doesn't favor tall players. I think the last real tall, emphatic, like, poetic dunker was like Larry Nance. At least that I can recall. JaVale McGee did a few things that were entertaining. But that being said, great showing by LaVine. Enough about the All-Star game. Why don't we go ahead and get into some not-so-breaking news, and get into who won and who lost at the trade deadline.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and get into all of the recent movement. I'd have to say this is the most movement I've seen on a trade deadline day in years, maybe a decade. That being said, let's go ahead and start off with some smaller names first. Thaddeus Young, I think his value is going to see a little uptick in a much-needed, offensively hungry Brooklyn Nets team. And you got KG going back to Minnesota to kind of probably serve as a mentor for young and up-and-coming Andrew Wiggins. And then I think KG is probably going to get some type of severance package from the Minnesota Timberwolves when he decides to retire. I mean, I don't know how old this guy is, but he's got one of those bodies where, you know, an old, slender, just not a lot of weight on those joints. I mean, that's the way you age. You don't see a lot of fat old people in life in general. You just don't. You see skinny old people, like really old people, usually aren't fat. I'm just saying. And from an NBA standpoint, I'm sorry I got off on a tangent. But from an NBA standpoint, a veteran, you know, the heavier guys tend not to age as well as the lighter guys. And I mean, that just makes sense. I don't think that KG's value is really going to be much higher or lower, really. I mean, I don't know how many points he was averaging, maybe 6. So, that being said, we'll have to see how Thaddeus Young does for his Brooklyn Nets. There's a lot of movement going on with Goran Dragic wanting to push his way out of push his way out of Phoenix. So, he goes from one hot spot in Phoenix, wants to go play in Miami. Him and his brother Zoran and Goran are trying to be Soren and scoring on maybe some Miami beaches, if you know what I mean. We're young Eastern European, Slovenian kind of guys, and they're like, hey, this, you know, I was all NBA third team, most improved player. Then you bring in Eric Bledsoe. Then you bring in Isaiah Thomas. You know, like, what was funny is that all three of those guys, Isaiah Thomas, Eric Bledsoe, and Goran Dragic, they were all averaging about 15 points a game and about 4 assists a game. And nobody was really, you know, the team was relatively competitive, but at the same time, they were losing a lot of close games. Goran Dragic, Eric Bledsoe, and Isaiah Thomas, three-headed point guard monster, just wasn't working out. because Goran Dragic, being the taller of the three point guards, he's got to play the small forward position, which basically turns him into a spot-up three-point shooter, and he doesn't shoot the three-point ball as well, spotting up as off the dribble, a la, you know, a Steph Curry type, guy who handles the ball a little bit more. Goran Dragic wanted to have the offense run through him, and he felt like if he played for LA, if he played for the Heat, you know, these kinds of teams that are lacking a little bit, especially at the point guard position and at ball handlers, you know, he wanted to kind of go for there. Now, Pat Riley, I got to give my hats off to this guy. Riles getting it done. I think that Pat Riley... one of the most underrated general managers in the game today. I mean, honestly, when you think about some of the moves, obviously the Bosch, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade coup was a phenomenal general management move. I mean, I don't know what he does Godfather style, just rolls out the rings on the table and just like, hey, look, LeBron, you see these rings? I can win you a couple if you join the family, hey. And then LeBron, you know, he gets big. He decides to go start his own family in Cleveland. But Pat Riley doesn't, you know, fuss. He gets on the phone, tells the guys over in Phoenix, I'll give you everybody but people that I don't, you know, I'll give you anybody that I don't want. And Phoenix is like, okay. So, you know, you got guys like Norris Cole, Granger getting shipped out of Miami. So they bring in the Dragic brothers. Unfortunately, as everybody's celebrating Thursday in Miami and they're saying, hey, we may have the best starting five in the league with the up-and-coming Hassan Whiteside. Just, I mean, I think over the last 10 games, the guy's averaging like 14 and 14, like close to three or over three blocks a game. The guy's a monster. Then you had Chris Bosh. You had Dwayne Wade, Goran Dragic, and Luol Deng. That sounds like a really good starting five. But unfortunately, you got Chris Bosh. He's going to be out for the remainder of the season with blood clots in his lungs. And that's just a tough situation. You know, everybody likes to make fun of Bosh being a dinosaur and all. And I had him on some of my fantasy teams. And Bosh was proving the bill. He was playing fairly well at the beginning of the season, and he had a little ankle issues, and he said that he was dealing with sore ribs. But what I find interesting is that, you know, the reports out of Miami are saying that, hey, Juwan Howard was telling people, you know, Bosh is playing a little hurt. He's playing a little injured. His ribs are a little hurt, and he's not himself. Well, you know, then this happens, and this news comes out. After all the great news on Thursday, then Friday comes along and, you know, it looks like they're going to have to sign Goran Dragic for next year because they're really not playing for this year at this point. And it's just a tough situation. So obviously if you own Chris Bosh, you got to cut your ties and let him go. We'll get into that in the drop segment. Moving on down the list, where we talked about the Dragic brothers going to Miami. The Detroit Pistons, interestingly enough, got rid of DJ Augustine. He got shipped over to the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Pistons ended up getting Reggie Jackson and like a three-way deal. So Reggie Jackson is now the new point guard for the Pistons. I don't know if I like this move. I know Reggie Jackson's probably a little taller. He's a little bit more of an athletic point guard. He plays a little better defense, and I know Van Gundy, being a Van Gundy, values defense, but DJ Augustine was a pretty good facilitator, and he had some really nice, like, you know, 20 and 10 games as a fantasy player and as a fantasy producer in the in lieu of Brandon Jennings blowing out his Achilles tendon. So I was a DJ Augustine owner because I owned Brandon Jennings in a few leagues, and once Jennings went down, you went and scooped up DJ Augustine. Now you can pretty much drop DJ Augustine because he's not going to be getting any, you know, relevant minutes behind Russell Westbrook. Only in the deeper of leagues would I suggest, you know, holding on to DJ Augustine, just because he is I'd say he's one of the top three best backup point guards in the league. That's just my opinion. I thought he did really great in Chicago. I thought he was doing pretty phenomenal for the Pistons there, at least individual-wise. And, you know, it kind of stings a little bit being an Augustine owner. But if you were quick enough to pick up Jackson once you heard the news, then kudos to you, Reggie Jackson, Action Jackson, joining the, you know, fringe Eastern Conference, trying to get into the playoff, pushing Detroit Pistons. And Kyle Singler also got moved to Detroit. So in deeper leagues, you may want to look at guys like Caron Butler. But yeah, Tayshaun Prince was also added to Detroit from Boston. So Detroit got a couple of guys there to kind of help them out. So as we're talking about Reggie Jackson leaving Oklahoma City to help out Detroit, DJ Augustine left Detroit to go to Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City also ended up landing Enes Kanter from the Utah Jazz. So the OKC Thunder, you know, I think they really solidified themselves here. They did a lot of good things. You know, you let go of Sam Perkins, you get a legitimate backup point guard, you get a fairly good spot-up shooter. You know, he was a starting shooting guard, or, you know, small forward, wherever you wanted to put him, for, you know, a borderline Eastern Conference team in the Pistons. But Kyle Singler, he's a pretty decent player, you know. I will give you the fact that he does look like a Walking Dead character, and he's got those really dead-looking eyes, and he's just kind of creepy-looking a little bit. But the kid can ball, and I think he'll be a nice fit for the Thunder. Going on down the list, the Phoenix Suns letting go of Goran Dragic. They also let go of Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas lands in Boston. Miles Plumlee gets moved to the Bucks. You know, no big importance there. Now, what I found very confusing was, why did the Bucks let go of Brandon Knight and end up getting Michael Carter-Williams? I understand he's still on his rookie contract, so you don't have to pay Brandon Knight that money that you just signed him for the contract. But I felt like Brandon Knight was fairly cheap for the production he was giving you, and the Bucks were playing pretty well. That's like switching your quarterback in the middle of the season. You know, point guard is a quarterback of your team, and there's a lot of quarterback movement in this trade deadline. But for it seemed like the Milwaukee Bucks were kind of looked like they were heading in the right direction, and then to make this trade, you know, it's like Jason Kidd saw a little bit of himself in Michael Carter-Williams, and he wanted him a little more than, you know, how he's doing with Brandon Knight. You got Larry Sanders kind of out on the outs there, so Larry Sanders may be signing with a team here shortly, hopefully after he gets his whole suspension situation handled. But I just didn't understand that. So, I mean, why? Why let go of Brandon Knight and then get Michael Carter-Williams? It just didn't make any sense to me. So then Brandon Knight ends up going to play with Phoenix with Eric Bledsoe. I feel like this is a hit for Eric Bledsoe, or not for Eric Bledsoe owners. Eric Bledsoe owners are happy that Dragic is gone, Isaiah Thomas is gone. And now Brandon Knight, he's got to come in and try and fit in with Eric Bledsoe, who seemed to be the alpha dog there already. And the Philadelphia 76ers, they get rid of Michael Carter-Williams because what? He's actually trying too hard. He's trying to win games. The Philadelphia 76ers aren't about trying to win games, so they basically are like, hey, let's get rid of this guy. We don't need him. You know, let's get our starting point guard should be, I don't know, how about the third string point guard for the Houston Rockets, whoever that is. Okay, what's his name? Isaiah Cannon? Yeah, bring in Cannonballs. Cannonball coming. What the fuck is going on in Philadelphia? They bring in Isaiah Cannon, your starting point guard. Now, hey, great fantasy pickup. Go and pick up Isaiah Cannon. But then they go and get JaVale McGee, who I like, but it has not been healthy this year. He's dealing with a broken leg. When you're a monstrous man like JaVale McGee, I don't care how skinny you are, having a broken leg screams red flag. So Philadelphia 76ers ensuring themselves another top 10 pick for the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, I don't know what is going on in Philly. That is the most confusing thing wow. So Houston let go of Isaiah Cannon. He ended up landing in Philadelphia. Houston got rid of Alexei Sfed. Another Philadelphia guy that looked like he was actually trying, KJ McDaniels. he ends up landing in Houston as well, and I just don't understand what's going on there. Like, you know, here you got, I think it was their starting point guard and starting shooting guard, and you get somebody's backup shooting guard, and you know, like, I don't understand why. I don't get it. So, you know, another trade that I wanted to get into is Aaron Aflalo and Alonzo G going to Portland. Meanwhile, Portland gets back, you know, a couple of scrubs, guys like Thomas Robinson, and so forth. I thought this was a good move for Portland. You got a hurt LaMarcus Aldridge. What better than to get another scorer you can bring off the bench to help, you know, facilitate, knock down some threes, do a little bit of everything. I think Aaron Aflalo is going to be recharged. Now, as far as Aaron Aflalo's fantasy value, I feel like it's going to take a little bit of a dip here because he's going to be going from a starting position where he may be getting 30-plus minutes or close to 30, where now he's probably going to be getting close to 20, 25 maybe. So that's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Few more moves to talk about. Sacramento picked up an old man, Andre Miller. Also picked up another old man to coach his team in George Karl. So those are pretty decent moves there. Okay, I think that's going to do it for the breaking news, all the roster movement. We might get into a few more guys that got moved, some lower-end guys here in a little bit. Next is going to be the injury report.
Down, Chuck. He is not getting up. He's had the stingers that have gone through his body. Again, just a glazed look in his eyes as he lay there on the floor.
But it's like a boxer who got hit, staggering, and has no balance, was obviously woozy.
And John Lovington is really hurt.
Okay, folks, let's go ahead and break down the injury report. Obviously, you got guys like Carmelo Anthony out for the season, knee injuries, Kobe Bryant, we need to talk about him. Chris Bosh, we already talked about him with his the lung issues. He's got the blood clots. It's unfortunate. Hopefully, get healthy soon. Chris Bosh, another guy going out for the rest of the season. Shabazz Muhammad with season-ending finger surgery. Let's see, anybody else going to be out for the season? Okay, all right, so let's go ahead and talk about guys that are injured. Kelly Olynyk is listed as day-to-day with ankle. It looks like Jared Sullinger is going to be out for the season. He's going to be undergoing surgery to repair a stress fracture in his left foot. Get well soon, Jared Sullinger. Chandler Parsons is dealing with an ankle injury. Looks like he's going to be missing the next 3, possibly 4 to 5 games. So Chandler Parsons had a bad ankle injury. Steph Curry was a late scratch in his game. The coach says that he thinks he's going to be fine, and he's just considering Steph Curry day-to-day. So that's good news. Sneaky little update out of Indiana. Paul George has expanded on the timetable for his return, and says that he's targeting a mid-March return to game action. So interesting news. Paul George owners, or wannabe Paul George owners, they could be you soon if you decide to go and pick him up. Let's see. Michael Carter Williams listed as day-to-day with foot issues. We got Anthony Davis. Unfortunately, it looks like he could miss 1 to 2 more weeks. And he was diagnosed with a right shoulder sprain. So it looks like he re-aggravated that injury from that nasty fall off of that dunk. His teammate Ryan Anderson is also going to be missing 2 to 4 weeks with an MCL sprain in his right knee. And Jrue Holiday is still listed as out indefinitely after aggravating a stress reaction in his right lower leg. So basically, the New Orleans Pelicans are going to be needing some point production coming from somewhere. I look for Eric Gordon and Tyreek Evans and Omer Asik to all three of those guys to see an uptick in value these next following weeks. Definitely going to be some good value players in leagues like FanDuel and whatnot. Kevin Durant underwent a procedure to reduce the pain and discomfort he's been feeling in his right foot, and he'll be reevaluated in a week. Hopefully, the... I don't know the specifics of the procedure, but when you undergo a procedure, I don't suspect that you're going to be back within a week. I think this may drag out a little longer, and I think he may have rushed back too soon in trying to fight for that eighth spot. Hopefully with the new acquisitions of Ennis Kanter and Kyle Singler and Jarebko and DJ Augustine over there in OKC, along with Russell Westbrook playing out of his mind, that they don't need to rush back Kevin Durant. I know from a fantasy perspective, Kevin Durant owners want him back ASAP, but I think that Oklahoma City's got to look at the future instead of trying to get into the now. That being said, it's a tough spot for Oklahoma City. Also, his teammate Steven Adams was spotted wearing a splint on his right surgically repaired hand, and he's out indefinitely. So Ennis Kanter was definitely a much needed addition to that squad, with Adams and Perkins being shown the door. To update, Darren Collison is still listed as day-to-day with the hip issues over there in Sacramento. Lou Williams also listed as day-to-day with ankle sprain. And Bradley Beal is still out indefinitely with his leg issues. Hopefully we get an update on Beal as soon as possible. I think that's going to do it for the injury report. So why don't we go ahead and get into the drops list.
I don't care, Bob. You're fired. You're fired! Clean out your locker at the club, Bob. You're fucking fired!
Okay, folks. Why don't we go ahead and talk about some people that are getting fired off of most fantasy teams. Me, personally, if you own Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, Jared Sullinger, or Shabazz Muhammad, seeing the fact that they're injured and out for the rest of the season, it is safe to drop any of those guys. Also, if you own DJ Augustine, now that he's a backup point guard for Russell Westbrook, it is also safe to drop him. I can understand why people are dropping Spencer Hawes, because he just wasn't filling the bill, even with Blake Griffin being out with that elbow injury. I think I skipped over Blake in the injury report. Nonetheless, I'll keep you updated on Blake Griffin. Hopefully he gets back sooner than later. Should be getting the stitches removed shortly. I can understand why people are dropping Mitch McGrory, with Ennis Kanter coming to OKC. Looks like he's going to be getting the lion's share of the minutes at center, and moves Mitch back to the bench. I understand why people are dropping Brian Roberts from Charlotte, with Mo Williams going over there to Charlotte. Looks like he's going to be taking over that point guard position in absence of Kemba Walker, who's out with injury. So, I mean, all this kind of stuff, I mean, it's all relative. It all makes sense. You know, these guys, one guy goes down, another guy picks up, one guy gets moved. You know, things along those lines. I don't know if I'm down with dropping Jarrett Jack. You know, he only missed one game with a hamstring issue. He missed practice on Sunday. He's listed as doubtful for Monday's game, so he could miss a couple of games here. And I just don't know if Deron Williams has really proven to Lionel Hollins that he belongs in the starting lineup. Jarrett Jack being the starting point guard. Now D. Will's got a chance to kind of take that back away from him. I don't know if he's going to do it, because Deron Williams is a shell of himself. Deron Williams reminds me, do you remember that scene in Space Jam where Charles Barkley saw the kids playing basketball outside, and he's looking through the chain fence, and he's like, hey guys, you know, can I play? And they're like, yeah, sure, that's Charles Barkley. It's Charles Barkley. And then he's out there, and he's just not himself. And he's getting blocked by some kids. And the kid's like, hey man, you ain't Charles Barkley. You just some wannabe who looks like him.
You're not Charles Barkley.
Sing
just
it
a
out.
Wannabe who looks like him. Mari, break out. Shouldn't even be here. Be gone. Wannabe, be gone.
Be gone. Get out of here. Leave. Deron Williams is not Deron Williams. When I see him, I'm like, you're just some guy that looks like Deron Williams. Like, you're not playing the top three point guard kind of, you know, ball that I've expected. And I know it's been dropping off for like the past couple of years, but man, it's frustrating. He looked pretty decent at the beginning of this season. And I don't know, man. Deron Williams is a really frustrating player to own at this point. Going on down the list, a couple of guys that are getting dropped in fantasy leagues. Obviously, like I said, your Sullingers, your Bosches. I could see why people would be dropping Ryan Anderson on the news of him getting diagnosed with the MCL sprain. Another guy that I don't know if I fully endorse this drop. I see a lot of people are dropping him. But Gerald Henderson, I think he had a bad game against OKC. He's playing through a sore left wrist. So, you know, let's be clear. It's not the same wrist that he had surgery on in May. But, you know, the injury is not expected to be serious. You know, they're already without Kemba Walker. I understand Mo Williams is you know, going to be getting a nice little uptick in fantasy value over there in Charlotte. But I feel like Gerald Henderson, you know, he can give you some moderate, you know, assists, rebounds. He get you, you know, 15 points a game, 5 rebounds, close to 5 assists on any given night, and throw in a steal and maybe a 3 or 2. I see how people are, you know, are dropping him, and I just don't know if I 100% agree with that. So I'm not fully endorsing that drop. I think that's going to do it for the drop list. So why don't we go ahead and get into which players are getting added. So let's go ahead and get into the leads.
You got leads. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
Okay, folks. Couple guys getting added. I know that Isaiah Cannon is definitely on a lot of folks' top of their leaderboard to get added. The fact that he's taking over what seems to be an up-tempo, young, and starless team in the Philadelphia 76ers. Isaiah Cannon has proven with the Houston Rockets that he can be a pretty moderate ball handler. He's not going to turn the ball over a whole bunch. He's not going to wow you with any fancy dribbling or anything like that, but he can shoot the three ball well. He's an opportunistic scorer, and he can facilitate a little bit. So I think that's definitely a nice speculative ad. You get Isaiah Cannon for sure, especially now that KJ McDaniels and Michael Carter Williams are no longer with Philadelphia. Another guy getting added is Brandon Bass. On the news that Jared Sullinger is out for the season, you know, he's definitely going to get an uptick in minutes over there in Boston. And then you also got Olynyk, who's still day-to-day with his injury problems. Teammate Tyler Zeller is also a pretty good add with Sullinger out and then Olynyk out as well. So Bass first, then Tyler Zeller. That would be my order of one to pick up, guys. Another guy that's getting added in a lot of leagues is Luke Richard Mabuamute for Philadelphia. With KJ McDaniels being gone, I see how this could kind of open up some more playing time for him. I think it makes sense. Speculatively, I don't know. I'd put a short leash on him from an owner standpoint, but that's just me. Gosh, that really sounds horrible. Like, you put a short leash on him. I'm talking about fantasy-wise, man. I'm talking about literally put a leash on Luke Richard Mabuamute for the Philadelphia 76ers. But you catch my drift. Let's go ahead and get into some Detroit basketball. Drop the sound drop right there, folks. Reggie Jackson getting added in a lot of leagues. Now that he's out of Russell Westbrook's shadow, he wanted to see how he could run his own team. So now he's got an opportunity with an up-and-coming young upstart Detroit Pistons. Look, when you're throwing the ball to a monster like Andre Drummond, okay, you're going to get some assists. Hopefully Reggie Jackson plays his cards right. And next year you're going to have Brandon Jennings and Reggie Jackson. I don't know who you start. Maybe you move Brandon Jennings to the two guard and let Reggie Jackson play the point. But I think Jennings is more of a facilitator than Jackson, at least from what I've seen. Now, I don't know, because a lot of times when Jackson was passing in OKC, those guys, you know, they didn't want to help out Jackson's numbers. They kind of resented him a little bit. At least that's the feeling I got watching them play. Like, I got a lot of, like, stare backs from Ibaka and Perkins at Jackson when Durant and Westbrook were, you know, kind of on the mend. But maybe that's just me. Another guy that's getting added in a lot of leagues is Danilo, the Italian Rooster, Gallinari. Danilo Gallinari. For Denver, you know, you got Aaron Aflalo leaving. Danilo Gallinari is finally starting to get a little more healthier. He's getting a little more minutes. I don't know if he's really averaging more than 25 minutes as of late, but in the short time that he has been getting minutes, he has been fairly productive. He played pretty decent. Sunday, he only played 19 minutes, but yeah, he got you 16 points, a couple rebounds, 3 three-pointers. So, you know, Danilo Gallinari, definitely worth a look if you need 3-pointers, if you need a few rebounds here and there. But, I think that Wilson Chandler would probably be the safer play at that particular for that particular team. Another plug-and-play add would be Norris Cole, with the fact that Jrue Holiday is dealing with injuries right now, and you don't really know when he's coming back. Norris Cole will definitely give you some help there at the point guard position. I don't know if he'll get you too many assists, but he'll get you some threes, he'll get you some points. I think it's more of a speculative deep league add at this point, but that's just my opinion. So I don't know. I don't know about Norris. So let's go ahead and get into a couple more guys that are getting added as of late. Everybody's rushing to their waiver wire to go pick up James Johnson, who blew up against the Rockets. I'll tell you what, man. I was at a game, Rockets, I think it was versus the Memphis Grizzlies. And this was last year when James Johnson was playing for the Grizz. And I just kept telling my son, I'm like, oh, shit, you better watch out neck tattoo. Ooh, you better watch out for neck tattoo. He's going off. He's getting like 3 blocks. He had like 12 rebounds, like 15 points. I mean, he was doing a little bit of everything. For some reason, he just plays really well against the Houston Rockets. Now, his team, the Toronto Raptors, ended up losing that game against the Rockets, but he put up 27 points, 5 rebounds, 4 steals, 4 blocks, throwing a 3-pointer in there, shooting 62% from the field, playing 35 minutes. So, I don't know if the fact that he played so much because the Rockets, were beating him up pretty good or what the case was, but that was definitely a nice showing for James Johnson. I understand why a lot of people want to go pick him up. Let's talk a little bit about Mo Williams. In his in a recent game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, he put up 24 points, 12 assists, 5 three-pointers, and then he followed that game up with 22 points, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 3 three-pointers against the Hornets. So he's fitting in nice, against the Hornets, with the Hornets, and he's fitting in nicely in a loss against the Mavericks. So I think he's fitting in pretty good over there in Charlotte. I understand they're not winning. They're not going to win. But from a fantasy standpoint, Mo Williams is a pretty sneaky play at this point. Definitely somebody you want to keep your eye on. Let's go ahead and get back into the Houston Rockets corner for a moment, folks. Houston Rockets, that's my team. Houston Rockets, that's my team. Let's talk about my boy T. Jones. He's come back, and he's looking pretty good, close to a double-double on any given night. Last game against Toronto, they won 98-76. Terrence Jones had 11 points, 9 rebounds with 3 blocks. So it's nice to see the block numbers. The game before that against Dallas, in a losing effort, he had 9 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 blocks. So to get Terrence Jones right now, you need help. If you're a Dwight Howard owner, or maybe you're a Chris Bosh owner and you're looking for a power forward that's on the waiver wire, I say go pick up Terrence Jones. He's small forward eligible in most Yahoo leagues. He's getting you some decent rebounds. He can knock down the three-point ball from time to time, kind of like Chris Bosh. Won't shoot as many as Bosh did, but at least he'll get you more blocks. And if these block numbers are consistent, where he's getting you close to a couple blocks a game, then he's definitely got some sneaky underrated value. I definitely like adding Terrence Jones. And I have added Terrence Jones in a couple leagues, to be honest with you. You got guys like Rodney Stuckey having a nice little outing. Had 30 points against the Philadelphia 76ers with 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals. So everybody's kind of jumping on the Rodney Stuckey bandwagon there for a moment. Gonna ride it until it gets too hot, and then you gotta jump off. Now, he followed that up with a 2 three-pointer, 4 rebound, 5 assists, 1 steal game with 30 points again against the Golden State Warriors. So Rodney Stuckey is definitely a hot ad right now. Another guy that's getting added in a lot of leagues, and that is Alex Len. Now, in the absence of all this player movement and everything going on in Phoenix, new look Phoenix Suns, he's gotten over 30 minutes a game the past couple games against Minnesota and then Chicago. Against Minnesota, he put up 11 and 10 with 6 blocks. And then against Chicago, he had 8 points, 11 rebounds, only 1 block. So, it wasn't a massive game like his 6-block game he had on Friday. But he's got to be owned in at least most standard leagues at this point. You know, he's got some potential. I definitely can see adding Alex Len for sure. You know, trying to help you out with the home stretch there. Another guy getting added is Tim Hardaway Jr. with Pablo Prigioni getting moved to Houston. It's going to open up a little bit more playing time for him. Obviously, J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert are also no longer there. So he's getting close to 30 minutes a game. He can get you, 2 or 3 three-pointers, 3 or 4 assists, a couple steals, throwing a few rebounds there. Nothing too fancy, nothing too flashy, but definitely getting you some borderline production there. Couple of Detroit Pistons that have been playing pretty decent with the absence of DJ Augustine. You had Caron Butler having a nice outing, and then he followed it up with a quiet game. He had a 20-point game, then followed that up with a 7-point game. You got guys like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope dropping over 20 points a game. So, I don't know. I would say if you needed a small forward / shooting guard, I'd say take Kentavious Caldwell-Pope over somebody of the likes of Caron Butler. Another guy, Houston Rockets, getting added in a lot of leagues. Corey Brewer had a monster game against Toronto with 26 points, 10 rebounds, 5 steals, and 2 assists. Gotta love the steal numbers. They're not always going to be there, and especially the 10-rebound night, it's always not going to be there either. The fact he played 35 minutes, where he doesn't usually average more than 20 minutes, 25 minutes a game as of late. Corey Brewer is definitely trying to prove to Coach that he's worth the minutes and worth the time. Speaking about the time, I think that does it for me. I'm about out of time. Okay, folks, until next time, you can go ahead and check out the Facebook page, NBA Fantasy Podcast. If you have any questions, email me at NBAFantasyPodcast@gmail.com. Reach out to me on Twitter at Carlos_Garza, G-A-R-Z-A, 11, that's 1-1. And until next time, folks, don't forget to set your lineups.
Ricky Smalls is the illest. Mad question asking, blunt acid. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. My CD, the gimmicks, the whack lyrics, the shoot. Ricky Smalls is the illest. Mad question asking, blunt acid. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. I know how it feel to wake up, fucked up. Pockets broke as hell, another rock to sell. People look at you like you the user, selling drugs to all the losers, mad Buddha abuser. But they don't know about the stress-filled day. Baby on the way, mad bills to pay. That's why you drink Tangeray, so you can reminisce and wish you wasn't living so devilish. Shit, I remember I was just like you, smoking blunts with my crew, flipping those 62s. Cause GED wasn't B-I-G, I had to get P-A-D. That's why my mom paid me. She was forced to kick me out, no doubt. Then I figured out, Nick's went for 20 down south. Packed up my tools for my raw power move. Glock 19 for cats getting flower moves. The Trump's trying to stop my flow, and what they don't know will show on the autopsy. Went to see Poppy to cop me a brick. Asked for such a sign and he wasn't trying to hear it. Smoking mad Newports cause I'm doing court for an assault that I caught in Bridgeport, New York. Catch me if you can like the gingerbread man. You better have your gat in hand cause man. Ricky Smalls is the illest. Mad question asking, blunt acid. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. I see you. Ricky Smalls is the illest. Mad question asking, blunt acid. Now I'm in in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. I had the master plan, I'm in the caravan on my way to Maryland with my man 2Tex to take over this project. They call him 2Tex, he told 2Tex. And when he start to bust, he like to ask who's next. I got my honey on the Amtrak with the crack in the crack of her ass. 2 pounds of hash in the stash. I wait for hun to make some quick pass. I told her she could be lieutenant, bitch got gas. At last, I'm literally lounging black, sitting back, counting double digit thousand stacks. Had to re-up, see what's up with my peeps. Toyota dealer gone, had it cheap on the Jeep. See who got smoked, what rumors were spread. Last I heard I was dead, but 6 to the head. Then I got the phone call, it couldn't hit me harder. We got infiltrated, now you know at the Carter. Heard tech got murdered in the town I never heard about. Some bitch named Alberta over nickel-plated burners. And my bitch, swear to God she won't snitch. I told her when she hit the bricks, I make the hooker rich. Ricky Smalls is the illest. Mad question asking, blunt asses. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. I see the gimmick,